Welcome to the Ginghamsburg Podcast. After today's message, take a sec and download the Ginghamsburg app. It's the best way to find out about and engage with what's happening at Ginghamsburg. We hope the following message helps you activate your faith and take the next step with your journey with Jesus.
Hey everyone, good morning. Happy Easter. Thank you. For those who do not know me, I'm Pastor Dennis, senior pastor here at the church, and I'm just delighted to worship our risen Savior with you today. So welcome, welcome to those worshiping online this morning. This is the day that we have been waiting for, the day of the party, the day of the celebration. And so let us rejoice. Amen. All hearts, minds, eyes, ears go to Jerusalem today in the events that unfolded there years ago. I've had the opportunity to visit the city of Jerusalem four times in my life, and I recall on one of those occasions, I was there with my wife Rachel and my mother-in-law Joanne with 25 others from church. We walked the city streets of the ancient city. We walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, the route in which Jesus took to the cross. And then we made our way outside of the city walls, outside of the Damascus Gate, to a place today called Gordon's Calvary. It's a cliff that looks a little like a skull head. It is here that some Christians believe was the actual Golgotha. The more traditional site was another cliff that now is over the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the city. But near Gordon's Calvary, just feet away, there's a beautiful setting. It's called the Garden Tomb. We have a photo of it, where many believers, many pilgrims go to remember the resurrection. And each occasion that I've been in Jerusalem, I've stopped there just to worship and remember. This may not be the actual tomb, although this was a first century tomb. They found some Christian markings over where a church was there at one time. But it's a lovely place to worship and to commemorate and to remember. And I remember on this setting, somebody was singing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Another person was crying. And then a man stood up and he started preaching. He had a distinct British accent. I'll never forget it. And he said, "You know, it really doesn't matter if this is the actual tomb or not of Joseph of Arimathea. The truth is that on that first day of the week, on that first resurrection day, they knew the tomb, and that tomb was empty." And so I remember walking up to the tomb, and you can go inside and just look and see what a first century tomb would look like. And there's a plaque inside, right on the door actually. It's wood, and someone has carved the words, "He is not here, he is risen." Now those are the words of our scripture today. And if you have your New Testament, I want to invite you to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. So I invite you to turn there or look it up on your iPad or phone or computer at home, wherever you might be, and allow me to read from the NIV, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, this account. Remember, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother to James, all went to the tomb. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, and for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped their feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me. Now, these women, early on the first day of the week, after Sabbath, went to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea with spices to counter the odor of a body. They came thinking to see a dead body, not a risen Savior. But the stone had been rolled away. And an angel said those words that I read, he is not here. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. And friends, those words of good news have echoed down through the centuries and speak to us as modern day disciples here in the Miami Valley. And I want to share three words of hope, three words of good news for us today. And what that means, the significance of that event 2,000 years ago, that's more than relevant today in our lives. And here's the first. The truth is, because he is not here, he is risen. Hope shatters fear. Hope shatters fear. How many times does the word fear or afraid show up in these 10 verses? Four times. Check this out. Verse 4, the guards were so afraid. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. Verse 8, as the women hurried from the tomb, they were afraid, yet filled with joy. And in verse 10, Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Four times in this passage, we see this word, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And actually, all throughout the New Testament, we see that phrase. Not just during Easter, but even at the birth account of Jesus. Remember the angel appearing? Do not be afraid, for I've come with good tidings of great joy for all the people. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid. And yet often we are a people who live in fear. What fears do you have? Do you have any phobias? Do you have any fears? Anything that really shakes you? Don't say preachers now. Hope I'm not too scary. Turn towards your neighbor and just share any phobias or fears if you, this is confessional time, anything that you might have. Anything on your mind that just freaks you out. Yeah. Let's just see. Let's take a reading of the house. And I've done this before about a year and a half ago. How many people here are afraid of snakes? Anybody here afraid of snakes? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Make sure you're awake. Spiders? Yeah, same snake people over here. How about clowns? Some people are afraid of closed-in places. Anybody afraid of heights? Yeah, way to face your fears in the balcony up there. Good job. Do you know the number, surveys have been done, the number one fear of Americans, at least this one survey I read, public speaking. For some people, I mean, it really freaks them out. Second is death. That's led comedian Jerry Seinfeld to say, at a typical funeral in America, there are some people who would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. Now, all of us know that we're going to die. That's a given. That's not the big concern. It's when we're going to die and how we're going to die. That's the great unknown. Now, all of us know we're going to die. You know, for me, I just don't want any pain. I don't want to go down in a plane crash or motorcycle wreck or be eaten by a wild animal or anything like that. I want to die preaching. Not today, Lord, by the way. I want to die taking communion. I want to die maybe in my sleep. But the good news is that hope shatters fear. That because Jesus lives, we will live also, the Bible says. And as Sophia sang today, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, even though I don't know of my future. And life is what? Worth the living. Just because he lives, hope shatters fear. Second thing that he is not here, he is risen, says, is that miracles shatter expectations. You know, there's a pseudo-intellectual view today that these first century people were just gullible people because they lived in a world of superstition. Now, some of that's true of superstition, that there's some things scientifically we know that they didn't understand at that time, but we can't just take them for granted. They knew a lot. And this whole concept of resurrection was very foreign to them. They would not have just fallen for this. In fact, the Romans and the Greeks did not have an understanding at all of resurrection. They didn't believe in resurrection as we understand it now in our time. They believed that the spirit would live on, but never a bodily resurrection. And the Jews didn't have a concept of a personal resurrection. The Jews only believed that at the end of the age, when the Messiah would come and stand on the Mount of Olives, that somehow that there would be this mass resurrection of the dead. And that's why all over the Mount of Olives today, it's a cemetery. Because someday, you know, the Messiah will come and judge the world. And so they believed in a mass resurrection, but not a personal resurrection. It was too foreign to them. It didn't make sense to them. It was just craziness, insane, that something, so it wasn't on the radar. Just like on your radar, you don't have the belief that you're going to leave this place and go out on 25A and see an albino rhinoceros wearing a Dayton's Dragons shirt, riding a tricycle, eating a Five Guys hamburger with tomato and no mayonnaise. It's inconceivable. Now, I gave you that idea. You may be looking for them today. That kind of stuff doesn't happen. People don't come back from the dead, and they understood that. I love the story I heard years ago about a woman who was looking out her back window, and she saw her German shepherd come across the lawn with a dead rabbit in his mouth. What's he up to now? And as the German shepherd got closer, she said, oh no. Her heart just dropped because it was her neighbor's pet rabbit. And she, at that time, wasn't getting along very good with the neighbor. What would you do? She knew her neighbor was at home, and she thought, oh no. So she screamed at her dog, and she went out and got the rabbit, and she thought, what should I do? This is devastating. And so, not thinking clearly, she went back into the house and she decided she was going to clean up the rabbit, take all the dirt off of it, wash it off and wash any markings off, and even blew dry the rabbit's hair and fluffed it back out and made it look somewhat normal. And then since the neighbor wasn't home, she snuck over into the backyard of the neighbor and she put the rabbit, can you see her, into the pen as if it was just asleep. And then she walked back to her house. About 2 hours later, she heard these huge screams coming from the neighbor who had got back and went out to the pen. And she said, well, here it is. She discovered it. So she ran out to say, what's up? What's up? What's happening? And the neighbor says, it's my rabbit. It's my rabbit. He died 2 weeks ago. We buried him and he's back. Oh, that's a bad one, isn't it? Here's what the ancient Greeks, here's what the ancient Jews, here's what the ancient Romans knew, here's what the disciples knew. Dead rabbits stay dead. They don't come back. They understood that. But yet here we have the resurrection. Jesus is before them. Later, Thomas says, I'll only believe if I can feel the nail prints in your hands. And when he did, he believed. The impossible has become possible. Miracles shatter expectations. And the good news is, because Jesus has changed history, that our impossible can become possible. Amen? That our unbelievable can be changed. There's hope. That death is not God's final word. Every time that I have conducted a funeral, and now after 30 years, it's been into the hundreds, I come, yes, I'm sad, but I come with hope that this is not the end of the story for them, but also for me. Miracles shatter expectations. And finally, this. He is not here, he is risen simply means that joy shatters despair. Look back in the Bible in verse 8. I love this verse. Matthew writes, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy." Yet filled with joy. Underline that. "And ran to tell his disciples." They were filled with what? Joy. Even at a funeral, bringing spices to the tomb, they were filled with joy. Easter is about joy. Our greatest threats can be turned right side up. Let me close with this story. Some of you have heard of popular speaker Tony Campolo. For years, he was a sociologist at Eastern University. That's a photo of him standing right here where I'm standing on our stage exactly 10 years ago this spring in 2014. He was a friend of our church and spoken here a couple times. Our stage looked a little different then, but he was there. He's a storyteller, and he tells of a time when he was 17 years old, living in Philadelphia, just still being formed in his thoughts as a teenager. He had a mentor, a friend named Clarence, who did not go to his church. Clarence went to a Pentecostal church that he wasn't familiar with. But Campolo said that Clarence died, and so as a teenager, he decided to go to the funeral at a church he had never been before, quite different than his experience of church, which in a funeral would be very somber and quiet and reflective. But as he went to this funeral, the minister comforted the family like he had never experienced a minister comforting people in the face of death. He spoke about the resurrection and about how those who are in Christ do not stay dead, but are resurrected to be with Christ forever in glory. And he spoke with such power. And then he spoke to the family directly. And he comforted them. And he quoted by heart John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and I prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also." And Thomas says, "We do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And this minister shared this, John chapter 14, and in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give." And he comforted them. And Campolo was overwhelmed by that. And then he walked off the stage and he walked down to the casket. And if you've been in this room for a funeral memorial, we often for a funeral have the casket sitting right here beneath the stage. And in this incident, the casket was open. Sometimes the casket's closed, but the casket was open during the service. And Campolo said, to his surprise, and I think others, for the next 10 minutes, he preached to the corpse. You say, what's that like, preaching to the dead? Well, ask me as the pastor sometime. I'll tell you, I do it about every Sunday morning. Come on now, it's time to wake up a little bit. That went over some of your heads. You'll still be thinking that. He said, "Clarence, Clarence." And he said it with such authority, Campolo said, I wouldn't have been surprised if he would have answered. "Clarence, there are a lot of things that we should have said to you that we didn't say. And so we're going to say them to you now." He went down this beautiful litany of wonderful things that Clarence had done for people over the years. Going down this litany of wonderful things that people had done. And then, when he was through, he looked at the audience and says, anybody else have anything to say? Nobody had anything else to say. And then he turned to the cast again. He said, good night, Clarence. Good night, Clarence. Good night, Clarence. And he slammed the casket shut. If you want drama, that's drama. And then slowly he lifted his head. You could see there was a sparkle in his eye as he said, good night, Clarence, because I know that God is going to give you a good morning. And with that, the congregation was up singing on that great getting up morning, we shall rise, we shall rise. And people were dancing and people were singing and people were celebrating. And Apollo said, as a teenager, I was up, I was singing and I was dancing and I was celebrating. He said, I knew I had to join that church because that church knew how to take a funeral and turn it into a party. Friends, that's what Easter's all about. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And we will be too. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, is available for each of us in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that in baptism. As we said, baptism is not the end of the story, it's just the beginning. Jesus on the cross said, it is finished, not he is finished. He was just getting started. But when we come up out of that water, we are saying that in Christ we have died. The old woman, the old man, the old ways, the sin has been buried, and we are a new creation in Christ. One more verse. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 5. Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we were joined in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, and we celebrate that in going under the water, we also will be raised to life as he was. This morning, I want to encourage you to choose to believe, in the resurrection, to make a decision, to say, yes, today I believe. I'm an Easter person today. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for hope. We thank you there's reason for joy. There's reason for life. And today we celebrate the fact that you restore shattered lives, that we can go out of this place with hope and optimism into this sorry world and say there's reason to live, there's reason for love. As we proclaim the message, he is not here, he is risen, may we be known for our hope. May we love you and then actually be people of the resurrection and do something about it. May we live every day like it's Easter Sunday morning. For this we pray. In the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. I've got two invitations for you before you go. First, subscribe to our podcast so it shows up in your feed every week. And if today's message inspired you and you would like more people to hear it, you can give a financial gift through the Ginghamsburg app or online at ginghamsburg.org.